Amen. Push the person next to you and say, embrace your season. Say, push them. Push them. Don't tap them. Push them. Don't tap them. Push them. All right. Slap them across the shoulder. Say, embrace your season. Go ahead. Tell them, embrace your season. Wife, you've been wanting to do this all day. You've been looking at your husband all morning. Go ahead. This is your chance. Say, embrace your season. And take out the trash. I'm tired of this. I am from Boston, Massachusetts. Any two people here from Boston? Anybody here from Boston? Okay, we got some Boston people here. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and I've been living in North Carolina now going on 2 years. And one of the things that I had to learn quickly is that the weather in Boston is very different from the weather in North Carolina. In Boston, they have a season called winter. They have a season called spring. They have a season called summer. And then they have a season called fall. Y'all not gonna believe this, but they actually have a season where this white powder comes down on the ground, and it's like this, it's cold stuff. It's so amazing. Then there's another season, leaves are everywhere, and you gotta wear a brisk little jacket. It's like a for real thing. And then there's a whole other season where it's like hot, and we wear shorts and stuff. And then you're not gonna believe it, that season changes. It just changes. There's another season where it rains a lot. But here in North Carolina, what I have learned is y'all have one season, y'all have hot. And then you have another season called Hades. And then you have another season called just burning fire. And then you have another season called, I mean, today is the briskest day I've experienced ever since I've been in North Carolina. But it'd be hot even today as I was driving. There were people running outside with shorts on. Just say, I know this is 40 degrees, but I'm still beautiful out here right now in Boston. I just came from Rochester, New York. It was 2 degrees in Rochester, New York. It was sitting there snowing out here in North Carolina. It is hot. Can I get an amen? See, y'all used to it, so y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. So what happened was on Christmas, when I first got here, it ruined all my Christmas traditions. Because we had a tradition in my house for Christmas that on Christmas Eve, we like to put on our Christmas pajamas. And I put on my Christmas Santa hat. And we make hot chocolate. And we sit in front of the fire. And we drink hot chocolate and talk and sing songs. And it's a beautiful thing. And when we got to North Carolina, we put on our Christmas outfits. We made the hot chocolate. And when we sat down in front of the fire, we realized we were dying. It was so hot. It was sweating. We couldn't breathe. We was just, it was bad. So what I had to do was I had to turn on the AC just to cool down my house, just so that I can make it cold enough to be able to keep my pajamas on. Just so that we can stay in front of the fire and drink the hot chocolate. What happened, Pastor? It's crazy. Because clothes that fit us in one season, when we brought those same clothes to a new season, it didn't fit anymore. We had dressed for Boston, not realizing we were coming into a new environment. Not realizing that the Boston clothes didn't fit the North Carolina environment. Because it is possible that something that worked in 1 year doesn't work in this year. It's possible that something I was comfortable in yesterday, I'm not comfortable in today. It's possible that a prayer life that used to work for me 2 years ago, all of a sudden don't work for me this year. Why? Because for every season, it requires a new set of clothes. Every season requires a new personality. Every season requires a new mindset. Every new season requires a new strategy. And many of your frustration is you're not experiencing the joy of your new season is because you brought old clothes to a new climate. This is a year where you got to figure out, where am I at now? Something that worked last year may not work this year. I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you used to pray at a certain time in a certain place, and then all of a sudden one day you got to that prayer place and it was just dry, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and God is saying, nope, you're not about to box me into one room. You're not about to box me into one closet. You got to find me. You got to seek me. Maybe this is a season where you used to pray at noon, and God's saying, nope, this morning I'm meeting with you at 6. You're going to have to stop the noonday but God, we had a good time at noon, yeah, but I don't want you to get so used to meeting with me at noon that you can't move when I move. There are some of you, your level of worship last year was fine, but this year, God is saying, no, it's going to require a little bit of more uncomfortability for you. This is the year you're going to have to raise yourself to a different level. Maybe the ministry you used to serve in was cool last year. Now it's a struggle this year. God is saying, because I'm pulling you to another level of sacrifice. I'm pulling you to another level of responsibility. And you got to ask yourself, what season am I in? Because once you determine the season you're in, you can realize the strategy you need for right now. Not everybody's in a mountaintop season. Some people are in a valley season. Not everybody's in a get married season. Some of you are in a don't date dummy season. Because you've been dating dummies for so long. God said, give me 4 months to just clean you up. Just give me 4 months. You done dated so many dummies. I got Valentine's Day on my mind, so I might talk about relationships. But you've been dating so many fools. God said, no, this is the year where you just chill out. Maybe this is your stay in the house season. You've been going out, doing all kind of stuff. God say, no, give me 4 months. Just stay in the house. Stop shopping. This is your debt-free season. This is your don't spend crazy money season. This is your fill out a new job application season. This is your go back to school season. All I'm asking you is to figure out where God has you. Because if you can figure out where God has you, you can develop the strategy and pray for the wisdom that you need right now. This is why the Lord says you need to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Yesterday's manna won't do it. This day needs some new bread. Yesterday's bread was for yesterday's problem, but you need some new bread because you got a new giant, and I'm asking you every day to seek my face so that you can get what you need for today. How many people know a season will switch up on you in a minute? Come on, y'all got to say amen to me. I know it's early, but good God, a season will switch up on you in a minute. No season switched up on me more than when I went from being single to being married. Jesus, my wife is right here. Married 12 years. When I was single, y'all not going to believe this. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When I was single, you're not going to believe this. I used to wake up, leave the house, and just come back when I wanted. Every day. I used to wake up, leave, come back when I wanted. Every day. I used to wake up, leave, come back when I wanted. All my life, I've been waking up, leaving, come back when I wanted. As soon as my mother, as soon as I was just a, it was, as soon as I seen a little bit of mustache, me and my mother had a conversation. I'm leaving, come back, doing what I got to do. Then I got married. I woke up one morning, and I was getting ready to leave the house. My wife asked me a question I had never heard. She said, sweetie. I said, yes, dear. She said, where are you going? I said, excuse me? Who are you talking to, girl? You think this is? You know I'm grown, right? You know I got a license. I can drive. You know that, right? I said, oh, okay, I guess I'm married now. I'm going out with the fellas. She said, okay. And as I'm going to the door, she asked me another question. I ain't never heard. She said, when are you coming back? This is what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, when you see the door open and I walk through, that's when I'm coming back. As soon as you see the door open, you see my foot, I'm back. But I'm married. I said, I'll be back around 6. So I'm out, and now it's 6:01. And I'm not back yet. And I get another text on the phone. Where are you? I want to say, in my skin, that's where I'm at. That's where you should be. If you should be in your skin, I should be in my skin. We both mind our business. Now I'm 12 years in, I still get a little nervous when she asks me, where are you? Not because I don't want to tell her where I'm at. Well, I don't want to tell her where I'm at, but not for the reason you think. See, year one, when my wife used to ask me, where are you? She really wanted to know where I was. Year two, she wants to know, where are you? Because she really wants to know, how close are you to the nearest store? So when she says, where are you? I almost don't want to tell her because I know if I say I'm near a store, she's going to be like, cool, can you go in Target and find the weirdest thing that I know is going to take you an hour to find? I know you're never going to be able to find it, but can you go in there and get me 10 things? And I'm saying, no, I just want to come home. What I'm saying to you is, if you try to bring a single mindset to a married season, you will frustrate the season that you're in because you have yet to grow into the season that you're at right now. And maybe you don't have a bad spouse. Maybe you have a bad mindset because maybe you have brought old habits and old ways from your single days into a new season. But God wants me to preach to you this morning and say that everything you need for this season to be the best season of your life, I declare you will not be lacking in any area. This is going to be your greatest season. This is going to be your best year. This is going to be the season of your life where everything you need, even if it's a storm, even if it's a tornado, God says, I'll make you storm proof. God says, I'll walk with you through fire. God says, I'll make it so that this season you will thrive and not just survive. This is why I love the story of David and Goliath. I love this story because we see in the story this man named David. I love David because David comes from nowhere. David is just some boy. He's not even supposed to be there. David said, it's my time. He just rose up to bring his brother some lunch. And when he rose up to bring his brother some lunch, he just shows up and he sees this giant just talking out of his mouth. And David says, please, I'm not about to sit back and let this giant just talk. His brothers were scared. Saul was scared. Didn't nobody want to go out there and fight him. But David said, I got this. David says, I know what I'm doing. I love David's swag. I love the confidence that he has because David knows I am able to do this. David's not letting nobody talk him out of his confidence. David is not letting anybody try to sell him on the fact that he's too small or too short or too young. David says, nope, I know I can slay a giant. I know I can destroy this thing. And I came to preach to at least 10 people and say that you got to get your swag back. You got to get your confidence back. There was a time when you used to see a giant and you used to say, let's go. Now, all of a sudden, you've lost your confidence. You see giants now and you retreat. You see giants now and you fall back. God says, stop falling back. Come on, push yourself forward because there's a giant slayer on the inside of you. You have the ability to cut off his head. You have the ability to sling your shot. God said, why are you sitting back? Because somebody done broke up with you and now you don't even have your confidence anymore when you date. God said, please, you better get your confidence back. Don't let two or three breakups mess you up. You better get yourself together. You better look yourself in the mirror and say, I am a giant slayer. I can slay a Goliath. Just because that job didn't want you, you better say, there's another job waiting for me. There's another career waiting for me. Don't let one door closed make it seem like every door is closed. No, you got to get your confidence back. Push your neighbor, say, get your swag back. Even if you don't know what swag means, just say it. I don't even know what it means, but it sounds good. Get your swag back. Where did David get his confidence from? How did David know he was going to slay this giant? We know where he got his confidence from because he tells us. What does he tell us? He says, what happened was I was looking over my sheep. And one day a lion came and snatched my sheep. I went after the lion and I took the sheep out the lion's mouth. But then he said the lion tried to turn on me. And when the lion tried to turn on me, he said God stepped in and made sure that the lion couldn't take me out. And he said I brought the lion down. He said one day a bear came, took my sheep. And then he said I went and wrestled the sheep out the bear's mouth. But after I wrestled the sheep out the bear's mouth, the bear turned up on me. And then God stepped in and made sure I took down a bear. And David thought in his mind, if God stepped in when I was fighting lions, if God stepped in when I was fighting bears, then if he did it before, then I know he can do it again. God is looking at somebody and saying, don't you remember when I fought the lion with you? Don't you remember when I fought the bear with you? If I fought a lion with you and I fought a bear with you, why wouldn't you think I'd rise up on the inside when a big old giant come? God says, I do my best work in the darkest situations. I do my best work. The bigger the giant, the bigger I show up. Ow, I wish I had somebody in this place that says, I'm looking for my Goliath here. I'm looking for my giant. God says, the bigger the giant, the bigger I'll show up. I had a situation with my son where I was telling, we were in the house, I was telling the family, get in the car. I was yelling at everybody, get in the car. We was late going somewhere, and I told everybody, get in the car. My wife came downstairs. She went in the garage, got in the car. My five-year-old daughter came downstairs, got in the car. My four-year-old son, we were all walking in the car. All I heard was my four-year-old son crying. I turned around. He was shaking. He was like, Daddy, man, Daddy, man. I said, what's wrong with you? What are you screaming for? I thought she was gonna leave me. I was so annoyed. I got down on my knees. I said, let me tell you something, little boy. You are 4 years old. 365 days times four. Every day you have woken up since the day you've been born, I've been putting you in that car. When was the last time I ever left you? When was the last time I ever kept you upstairs? When was the last time we left as a family? If you don't stop crying, get your butt in that car and let's go. Can I tell you something? You do the same thing to God. You'd be like, God. And God's like, what's your problem? I thought you was gonna leave me. And God is saying, girl, what you talking about? When was the last time you woke up and I didn't feed you? When was the last time I didn't take care of you? I was with you last year and the year before that. What makes you think that all of a sudden, you think because it's 2020, somehow I forgot who I am? Oh, God! You got to get your confidence back. God is like, what you talking about? Why you acting like we ain't been through no battles together? Why you acting like we haven't been through wars together? How you gonna sit there and act like we haven't been through some dark situations? You're trying to tell me I could do it then, but I can't do it now? I always say the best for last. I do my best work at the end. When you see this story of David, what you are looking at is not just a story about fighting. You are not just looking at a story about the underdog. You are not just looking at a story about a little boy and a big old giant. You're looking at a story about seasons. David goes from a hidden season to a revealing season. David goes from being the dude don't nobody know. David spends seasons of his life knowing he's a king, but just dealing with the sheep. David knows he's anointed. He knows he has the ability to play his harp, and even the king gets soothed by the harp that he plays, yet his hands are full of dirt. David knows he's overlooked. When the prophet Samuel comes to anoint one of Jesse's sons, they don't even call him. Even the prophet looked at him and was confused. You know it's bad when somebody with kingdom eyes look at you and still don't see the potential in you. You know it's bad because we all quote the scripture. We all say, well, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. That came from this story because God was like, Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. David's overlooked, but we don't see him complain. We never see David saying, why I got to be out here with the sheep? We never see David saying, why is my time? Where's my moment? Where's my chance? When I'm going to get revealed? When I'm going to blow up? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have a child? When's going to be my day? When am I going to get $1 million? When are they going to give me the mic? When am I going to get on stage? When am I going to get my car? When can I preach? When can I sing? When am I going to get my mansion? When am I going to get my stuff? Nope, David says, I'm in a hidden season. I'm out here with the sheep, and I'm just about to be the best shepherd these sheep have ever seen because I know if I'm faithful in my hidden season, my new season is going to come. And I see more and more people who are missing out on their next season because they have mismanaged their hidden season. Bitterness has grown in your heart in your hidden season. Frustration has grown in your heart because of your hidden season. Some of you have still not gotten over the fact that you feel like God ignored you. All right, it's quiet. Let me see if I can bring it to where you can feel it. Have you ever, I don't know why relationships are on my mind. Have you ever, I need every woman in here to say amen to this. She said, I don't even know what it is. I feel it, Pastor. A to the man. Have you ever saw one of your friends or another woman get married or engaged and you're like, how her? Wait, what? She's not as cute as me. She's not as faithful. She sleep with everybody. She been sleeping with everybody. God, wait a minute. I've been faithful. I've been tithing. I pray every morning. I fast. I wash. I clean. I do my hair. I do everything you asked me to do. And ha! And some of you want to go to the guy and just be like, what did you see? What was it? Can you tell me why? How? And you get mad at God. Every Christian dude has experience seeing a woman that he's into and he's looking at her and she's dating Pookie, Ray Ray, Tyron. She's dating the most thuggish, most abusive dude. And the same dude's like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? I got a job. I got a business. I got a house. I got an anointing. He's over there abusing you. You talking to him because he wears his jeans under his butt and got Tim's. Are you crazy? Push your neighbor and say, he's talking to you, not me. I don't know why he's in your business. Just come on and say, come on, look at somebody and say, I don't know why he's all up in your business. Okay, it's still quiet. Have you ever seen somebody else on your job get a promotion? And you're thinking, what? Wait a second. God, they don't know 1 + 1. How in the world are they bumping me and getting over me? Somebody else got hired for a position you were looking at, and you know you're more qualified? That is a hidden season. That is a season where it almost looks like God is playing a trick on you. It can almost look like God is overlooking you. It can almost look like that God has ignored you. But God wanted me to say these words to you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God says, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just hiding you because there's a season that you're in. I'm preparing you. I'm making some stuff ready in you. I'm getting some stuff strategically positioned for you. I just need you to be faithful. I need you to keep going. I just need you to stand strong. I just need you to keep your head up high. I just need you to keep showing up. I just need you to keep doing the work. I just need you to keep going to the gym. I just need you to keep it together because I'm blessing you even in your hidden season. I remember one time I went to Wendy's and I was in line and I was sitting in line. I told him, I said, hey, I need one of those number 6. Give me a homestyle chicken sandwich, extra lettuce, extra tomatoes, no mayonnaise, put some cheese on it, and no salt on the fries. And they said, okay, sir, can you say that again? I said, yep, can you give me homestyle chicken sandwich, extra lettuce, extra tomatoes, put some cheese on it, no mayo, no salt on the fries. They said, okay, sir, your order will be right out. We just need you to wait to the side for a second. I said, excuse me, I've been sitting in line already. I'm not about to pull to the side and wait for this order. I don't want these other people to cut in front of me. They said, sir, we need you to wait to the side because what you ordered is not on the menu. And since what you ordered is not on the menu, it's going to take us a little bit of time just to put your order together. They said, but we promise if you wait to the side, we will bring your order out and it will be hot and it will be fresh. I came to tell somebody the thing you've been praying for isn't on the menu. And God is saying, if you give me some more time, God says, I'll make sure that I bring your blessing and will be hot and it will be fresh. You are not a number six. You are not a number three. You are not a number two. You cannot just walk into heaven and say, give me the number one. God says, what you're asking for is too special. God says, what I'm preparing for you, eyes have not seen. Yeah, ears have not heard. God says, what I'm setting up for you, give me another month. Yeah, give me another year. Give me another moment to work on you. But God says, if you hang in there, just pull your car to the side. I know it looks like every car is beating you, but every car is not beating you. I'm just working on the thing that you asked for, because you asked for something a little bit special. You asked for something a little bit extra. God said, when this thing come out, it's about to be fresh. It's about to be hot. It's about to be good. Can I get somebody in this place to give God praise and say, even though I'm in my hidden season, I'll still worship. Even though I'm in my hidden season, I'll still praise. Somebody open up your mouth and shout hallelujah. Okay. All right, I'm done. We got to go. You got to get your kids. There's so much going on. All right, God, David shows up. And all of a sudden, David hits a season that everybody's going to hit. David hits a season that everybody's going to hit. All of a sudden, David goes from being hidden, and all of a sudden, Goliath shows up. He kills Goliath, and his season changes. He hits something called a due season. Can I get somebody to say due season? Due season, we see this in Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What is your due season? Your due season is when time and God's will align in anticipation for your revival. Let me say that again. I said your due season is when time and God's will align in anticipation of your arrival. God is saying, if you just hold on, you are going to hit a season where you're going to be birthed into the world. You're going to hit a season where you're going to hit a stage and you will not be able to stop hitting stages. God says you're going to hit a season that way when you get married, it's going to be accelerated, and I'm going to bless your marriage. I'm going to cover your marriage. God says, if you don't get weary and you're well doing, if you faint not, He says you're going to hit your due season. Even as I'm saying this, something is hitting your spirit, because you know you got a due season on the way. Is there anybody in this room that says, Pastor, I'm hidden right now, but I'm willing to wait for my due season. I'm willing to hold on for my due season. God says, don't faint. If you faint not, you're going to hit your marriage season. You're going to hit your financial freedom season. You're going to hit your worship season. You're going to hit your prophetic season. You're going to hit your ministry season. You're going to hit that season of your character. You're going to hit that season of your integrity where you won't be able to break. Is there anybody in the room that can give God a hand clap and saying, God, I got a due season with my name on it? High five your neighbor, say your due season is coming. Come on, prophesy over them and say your due season is coming. I can see your future, and it looks much better than it looks right now. I said, I can see you, world overcomers, in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. I can see your joy coming. I can see your peace coming. I can see your life coming. I can see your blessing coming. But God says, just hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Your due season is going to slap you upside the head. Your due season is going to push you in your chest. Your due season is running behind you. Your due season is sneaking up on you. Your due season is getting a little bit closer. Your due season is pulling on your coattail. I said your due season. I said your due season. I said, your due season, I know I got a due season, I got a blessing with my name on it, and I'm willing to wait on it. Somebody open your mouth and shout hallelujah. You might be asking what I'm doing. I'm doing something I used to do as a kid. When I was a kid, every now and then my mother, I'd ask my mother, can we stay up to watch Arsenio Hall come on TV? And my mother used to say, yep, you can stay up tonight to watch Arsenio Hall. The problem was Arsenio Hall came on at 11 p.m. And I used to go to bed at about 8:30. So what would happen is we get our popcorn, we get some lemonade, we get some Kool-Aid, and we sitting there waiting. We had to wait through Golden Girls. Y'all know about that. We're sitting there waiting for Arsenio Hall to come, and we found ourselves waiting that around 10 o'clock, we start dozing. And so we didn't want to miss Arsenio Hall. So what we would do, we would get up and start dancing. Why are we dancing? Because we didn't want our season to hit and it to find us asleep. And God said, the reason why you got to give me praise, the reason why you got to worship is so that when your season hit, you won't be found asleep. Tell somebody, I'm getting ready to wake up here. Ow, because I'm not trying to miss. I'm not trying to miss my season. If I got to worship, if I got to lift my hands, if I got to shout, if I got to run, if I got to dance, if I got to leap, I don't want to miss it. 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 I don't want to miss nothing. Somebody open your mouth and say, I praise to stay woke. I praise so I don't lose my mind. I praise so I don't fall asleep. I praise so I don't get discouraged. Come on, let me hear your praise. Wake your spirit up. Wake your spirit up. Wake your mind up. Wake your destiny up. Lazarus, wake 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 up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Come on, and everybody on your feet. And everybody on your feet. God says, just like that, I can change the season on you. Just like that. What I love about David is when his season showed up, he was woke. He was like, ooh, this is what we were working on. When he saw Goliath, he said, now this makes sense. I'm praying that you have a now this makes sense moment. I'm praying that you hit that day where you say, this is why. This is why. This is why. Embrace your season. If you're hidden, be hidden. It's cool. If it's your time to go, go. If it's your time to grow, grow. If it's your time to get it done, get it done. But if it's your time to be quiet, shh. If it's your time to lay low, lay low. If it's your time to hold back, hold back. Lift up your hands halfway. God, I pray everyone knows the exact season that they're in. I pray no one leaves here confused about their destiny. I pray no one leaves here confused about where you're bringing them. But Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that right now you would unlock destiny. You would unlock their futures. You would unlock the path that you have them on. I pray for every David in the room that feels like they're among sheep, but there's a king on the inside. There's a warrior on the inside. God, I pray that you would cause them not to be weary in their well-doing. But if they faint not, they'll reap a harvest and hit their due season. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have an amazing and a wonderful Sunday.